Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, every year, round about this time, sort of January 1, most of us, who are like the rest of us, we all start making these New Year's resolutions. We start talking about things like, let's move more this year. Let's eat better. Let's spend less. Let's be more disciplined, more organized. In actual fact, let's just be a better version of ourselves this year than we were last year. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with goals. There's nothing wrong with intentions. Those things can be really, really helpful. But if we're honest, most of these resolutions don't make it very far. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe mine don't make it very far. But more often than not, these promises that we make ourselves at the start of the new year are built on willpower. And nowhere in Scripture does God ask us to have more willpower or better intentions. In actual fact, what he does do is he addresses faith. He asks us to have an increased amount of faith. He asks us to trust him. He asks us to literally put all of our eggs into his basket because he's good and he's faithful. He asks us to rely on him. You see, willpower is usually about what we will do differently. But faith is about who we're choosing to trust and believe in. Willpower often starts off strong, but slowly, or sometimes even quickly, it fades away. Faith, however, when it starts small, actually has the supernatural potential to not only stay alive, but to grow as well. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is begun in him. It is made complete in him, and it is finished in him. It's not something that we actually like will into existence ourselves. It is a gift from God. It is something that he has given us, and he grows it within us when we actively and willingly place it in his hands. He pioneered it, and he will perfect it. This revelation is one that God has actually been shaping in me throughout this last year. If I'm honest, 2025 was a little bit of a wild year. I don't know if anyone else can kind of give an amen to that. There were some incredible highs, but then there were also some incredible, like, freaky lows. Kind of caught me off guard. And it was in these moments that I had to personally encourage myself. I had to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I had to remind myself that God was still on the throne, that the victory was still mine in and through Jesus Christ. And you see, it wasn't that I was just hoping for things or that I was just having this like shallow faith, but it was actually that I knew that I knew that I knew with my eyes fixed on Jesus, he would be the one to strengthen and uphold me. See, the psalmist says in Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, 2025 was a year of me choosing to keep my eyes lifted, not because my faith was big, but I had, like that psalmist wrote, chosen to set my sights on a big God. Not the mountain that was before me, but rather the God that was beside me. You see, faith doesn't need to be big to be effective. It just needs to be placed in the right hands. And I can assure you with full confidence, those right hands are not yours. They're not mine. They're not your friends. For those of you married, they're not your spouses. They definitely are not your pastors. Those safe hands are in fact the hands of God. He is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than anybody else can. And if we're willing to surrender it to him, he will do so much more with it. Scripture actually tells us that our faith doesn't have to be big in order for it to move mountains. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 20, I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, not big faith, not impressive faith, not polished, confident, unshakable faith, simply faith the size of a mustard seed. But why a mustard seed, you might be wondering? It's not very big. It's not impressive to look at. But you know what it is? It is packed full of potential. One mustard seed, when it is placed in the ground, grows into a mustard tree. And that mustard tree or mustard plant then holds hundreds of mustard seeds. And from there, an entire, I don't know what you call it, plantation, there we go, of mustard trees comes from that, all from that one little mustard seed. And you know what? It's exactly the same with our faith. When our seemingly small faith is placed in the hands of our very big God, every bit of potential that is held within it bursts forth and grows in ways that we never imagined were possible. So often when you read this passage in Matthew 17, we assume that faith as small as a mustard seed has to be weak faith or barely enough faith. But Jesus wasn't diminishing faith in this passage of Scripture. He was redefining it. He wasn't criticizing the faith of his disciples. He was encouraging them to have faith that is packed full of potential. When our faith is placed in Christ, grown under his word, and nurtured in his presence, it becomes faith that is visible, active, and alive. And it's not because our faith itself is powerful, but because it positions us to trust the power of God at work in our surrendered lives. This is the kind of faith that overshadows the lies of the enemy. This is the kind of faith that causes trees of belief to grow where unbelief once flourished. This is the faith that Jesus talks about in Matthew 13, 32. Faith that may start small, but it soon becomes so large that others find shelter in its branches. This is the kind of faith that I want to carry into 2026. Every situation, every season, every circumstance. The kind of faith that strengthens and encourages, not just myself, but others as well. And so today I want to speak to you on this, faith full of potential. You see, in the middle of last year, we had our Nations Church Conference. Who here remembers Nations Church Conference last year? But in the lead up to it, as we do every single year, we actually have a time of prayer and fasting. And it's a powerful time that leads us into our weekend at conference. And on the particular Sunday just before we launched into prayer and fasting, Pastor Chrissy came down and she preached an incredible word for all of us. She was preaching on doing a fast rightly, on not taking any shortcuts when we fasted. And there was one line that she said. She said, God will meet you at your point of faith. And she carried on preaching and she carried on talking about how a biblical fast actually involved, wait for it, fasting food. Can you believe it? I know, it's surprising to most of us, because most of us, if we're honest, when we go fast, we go, I'll fast Netflix, or I'll fast coffee. I've done this all. I've done every single one of them. I'll fast social media, and I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying those are not good things, but a biblical fast, if you look back into the Old Testament, it's about fasting, the very thing that nourishes your body. And Netflix doesn't nourish your body. Social media doesn't nourish your body. But food does. Food nourishes your body. And so as Pastor Chrissy started speaking about this, I could feel the enemy rush in at me. And he started saying things like, you're not fit to fast food. Food controls your life. You've asked God to free you from this before, and it hasn't happened. Don't think it's going to work this time. And you know what? For a moment there, I stopped and I started believing his lies. You see, as a teenager, just to give you some context to why the enemy was coming in at me with these ridiculous things, but as a teenager, I was a dancer, and I was really set on becoming a professional dancer. That's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to go, I wanted to travel the world, I wanted to go all over the place, and I wanted to dance. And so because of this inner drive that I had, I started falling into some very unhealthy ways of living. And one of those ways that I fell into was that I controlled the narrative for my body around food. I controlled what went in. I controlled how much. I even controlled what got to stay there. I was in control. So when Pastor Chrissy said, a biblical fast means you fast food, I was like, yeah, I can't do that. Because I control that, and that's not really fasting then, is it? But in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit begin to whisper to me. He said to me, you know what? Do you believe that God can do something with what you surrender to him? Do you believe that he's bigger than this challenge? And let me tell you, this wasn't a challenge that, you know, had only been for a few years. I'm not that young. This was a challenge. This was a mountain that had been in my life for more than 3 decades. And I'd kept it pretty well hidden. No one really knew what was going on in my inner world of my conversation around food. I'd kept it well under wraps. And so when the Holy Spirit started telling me that I could have freedom in this if I just laid it down at the feet of Jesus, that I could get victory in this if I just gave it up, I started to doubt things. You see, the lies were relentless from myself, from the enemy, and I'd actually made a nightmare a bearable living space for myself with all of these lies. But as the Holy Spirit continued to reassure me, I began allowing my faith to grow. It wasn't very big, I'll be honest. It was actually pretty small, probably smaller than a mustard seed, and it was really fragile. And I honestly didn't think I had what it took, and I didn't. But God did. I was reminded of that passage in Matthew 17, and the Holy Spirit said to me, take your mustard seed and give it to Jesus. And so I did. I took my mustard seed right there sitting where TL's sitting, and I was like, all righty, God, this is yours. I'm giving it to you, and you're going to do something. I just know it. Like, I had this inner resolve in my spirit. I just knew he was going to do something. I'd love to say that I had victory on day one, but I didn't. I didn't have victory on day 2 or 3 or 4 either. It was a really long, long road, but I stuck to it. Every morning I got up and I prayed and I gave it back to Jesus. And then one day, I was sitting in the car and I suddenly went, man, I feel hungry. And to some of you, that's like, oh, okay. But you have to understand that for 3 decades, I had never allowed those words to escape my mouth. And I'd never allowed that thought to enter my mind. I refused to acknowledge that my body needed food. I would tell it what it needed. And so I sat in the car and I was like, man, I have these like pains in my belly. And I was getting quite excited. And I was getting quite tearful as well. And I called Bruce and I was like, babe, you're not going to believe this. I'm hungry. And he said, okay. Yay. Because he didn't really fully understand. Like, we've been married for 30 years this year. But even he didn't fully understand this reality that I'd been living in. But you know what? He is a good husband. And he rejoiced with me anyway. He was like, come on. This is so awesome. And you know what? I saw a mountain move. In that moment, I actually felt a little bit like David. I saw this Goliath before me that had been taunting me for 3+ decades. And I was like, nah, not today, Satan. I'm charging at you and I'm taking you down. And that's exactly what I did. I charged at the giant, but God took it down. And you know what? I totally know and believe and stand firmly on the fact that I am fully healed. I am fully healed from what I battled for so long. And I tell everyone about it now. I tell everyone I know, man, I'm hungry. Are we going to eat something? Oh, I'm so hungry. Let's go get something to eat. Like, I just love it, not because I want to constantly go on about food, but because I want to constantly go on about this feeling God has put in me because he has healed me. See, mountains in life don't always move overnight. And faith doesn't always feel big, bold, or strong. Sometimes it feels small and fragile. And that's okay, because often what diminishes our faith isn't the mountain itself. It's the things that creep in quietly, trying to steal our trust. Things like fear, disappointment, comparison, busyness, comfort, or even control. But God has given us his word to fight back with. So when fear or failure of rejection creep in, we got to fight back with 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. When disappointment creeps in because of unanswered prayers, I stand on Psalm 37 verse 23 to 24 that says, when Yahweh delights in how you live your life, he establishes your every step. If they stumble badly, they will survive. The Lord lifts them up with his hands. When comparison tries to rob you of what you are rightfully meant to step into because you're constantly measuring up against others, then I want to encourage you with Galatians 6 verse 4. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given and sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. When you find it hard to make space for God, take comfort in the fact that Jesus doesn't get angry with you. There's a beautiful passage in scripture of Mary and Martha is so busy doing stuff that she forgets to just be still and sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus isn't angry with her, but he just encourages her. He invites her. He says, Martha, leave that stuff alone. Come and sit with me. And that's exactly what he does with us. When comfort and control try and convince you to stay right where you are because it's a good place and you have a good handle on it, then fight back with Hebrews 11:8, which says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. These things that I've mentioned are just some of the weeds that can keep our mustard seeds from growing if we're not careful. But thank God for his word. He's given it to us so that we can fight back. And the good news is that our faith is designed to be visible, active, and alive. So with the time I've got left, I just want to unpack those three things and go a little bit deeper. Is that okay? Great. So visible faith. This is faith that is visible. It shows up before it shows off. There's an account in scripture of a Roman centurion coming to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant. When Jesus, read with me in Matthew 8, verse 5 to 10. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. Come, and he comes. I say to one servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And he said to the centurion, he said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. The Roman centurion knew all about power and authority. He was a man who possessed power and authority over others. He knew that a single word from Jesus could heal his servant. The Roman centurion had faith that was visible before anything showed up. He believed by faith for full healing of his servant, even without seeing Jesus lay hands on him. How many of us want to have faith like that? I know I do. But we sometimes are so busy waiting for Jesus to move. We're waiting for Jesus to heal. We're waiting for Jesus to give us that aha moment before we actually say, yeah, we have faith for this. You know what? If I'm honest, before my healing in July, I was exactly the same. I had faith that Jesus could move that mountain. I just wanted to see some rubble move first before I kind of really went all in with him. the Roman centurion said to Jesus, "Just say the word. What are you believing by faith for in 2026? Because sometimes you've just got to start saying the word. You've just got to start speaking God's truth out over the situation. You've just got to start declaring scripture that holds the promises, that holds the key to our freedom. Declaring breakthrough even when you're still in the throes of the battle. Perhaps 2026 needs to be a year when our faith shows up before God shows off. A year where we place our faith that is full of potential into his hands and see him move mountains. The next thing I want to have a look at is active faith. Faith that is active moves before it feels certain. In the scriptures, we read an account where Jesus sees some fishermen that have just been fishing and they've brought their boats in. And he climbs into one of the boats, they push it out a little way, and he begins to teach the crowd. And then scripture tells us in Luke 5, verse 4 to 6, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lay down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they did, they caught a catch, such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. The disciples would have been tired. You can actually hear it in Simon's response to Jesus. "Master, we fished all night and caught nothing." The evidence was there. The nets were clearly empty. No fish had been caught. But Simon decided to obey the voice of Jesus and allowed his faith to become active before it felt certain. And scripture tells us that when he did, the nets became so full that they began to break. So full that others around could see what was happening and be encouraged by it. See, our faith encourages others. When we step out in active faith, others are encouraged to do the same thing. For those of you who know my family, we've been through a really wild year this last year. And let me tell you, there have been times when the mountain before us has looked huge and overwhelming. We haven't ignored it. I just want to make that clear. We have gone to doctor's visits. We have done biopsies. We have done all the things that we needed to do. But in the midst of doing it all, we have had a very active faith. A faith that says this mountain will move. But we're going to act first. We have declared to our unsaved friends and families, "Watch this space." And you know what? Sometimes that's a scary thing to do. Because what if this space doesn't look good at the end? But we've said, no, no, no. Our faith is active before it feels certain. And I'm not saying this because we're special. Trust me, we're not. I'm saying this because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to have an active faith just like this. I want to encourage you so that our faith collectively becomes shelter for others. I want to see others with their faith that is full of potential, place it into God's hands, and it begin to burst forth with possibility. My last point as the band joins me is alive faith. Faith stays alive when it stays connected to Jesus. There's a beautiful passage of scripture where Jesus teaches us the only way to stay alive. In John 15, verse 5 to 8, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples." Jesus says when we remain in him, we grow, we bear fruit, we increase, we become more than when we started out. When our faith is connected to Jesus, it becomes faith that is truly alive. When we recognize that he is the author and finisher of our faith, then we understand that apart from him, our faith cannot grow. It cannot move and it cannot last. Disconnected from Christ, our faith has no life. But connected to him, our faith reaches its full potential. If my faith wasn't tethered to Jesus, I would have been swallowed up a long time ago by the mountains I faced. If my faith was held in my own hands, it would never grow. It would never reach its full potential. I need to be connected to the vine to see my faith flourish and overrun the fields of doubt that the enemy is sowing. You need to be connected to the vine to see your faith flourish and trees planted where there once were trees of doubt. My faith is not just for me, and your faith is not just for you. Our faith is meant to be alive, and it is meant to encourage others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One, and treat him as the Holy Master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith." After my healing in July last year, I cannot explain to you how much my faith increased. It wasn't because I hadn't seen God do miracles before. I have. He is a wonder-working God, and I've seen him. I've seen him do miracles in my own family. I've seen him do miracles in my friends. I've seen him do miracles right here in this church. But that one, that mountain, was huge. And when I saw it move, this faith inside of me literally burst in to the hugest mustard tree you can imagine. And now I'm ready to tell anyone. Like, if you give me 5 seconds of your time, I'm going to tell you about what an incredible God we serve. You give me 5 seconds of your time, I'm going to tell you about how I feel hungry every single day, multiple times during my day, and then I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you it's because I serve a God who is bigger than any mountain that we face. I serve a God who moves mountains, not because he can, not because he, you know, does occasionally, but because he wants his children free. He wants to see us step into the more that he has for us. And this year, this is a year of stepping into more. Do you know the most incredible thing when you begin to share your faith with other people is they begin to ask questions, especially people who don't know Jesus. They say, "What do you mean? That's an interesting, you know, story you have." But they get curious. They get curious about what you're talking about. They get curious about this Jesus who does these unbelievable things. See, our faith, when we live it out with hopeful expectation, it encourages other people. My prayer is that each one of us this year would have a faith that is visible, active, and alive. A faith where the full potential of it is realized in the hands of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.